Hello, and welcome to the Learning to Slay the Beast podcast, a resilience podcast where we talk about all the challenging things that we're working to overcome, like anxiety, health, and relationship issues. My name is Sarah. Hello, and welcome to the Learning to Slay the Beast podcast. My name is Sarah, and I'm happy to connect with you this week. So we are back with some more episodes. I know that I have been away for a little bit, doing some different things, but essentially just being very busy and not able to give as much to the podcast at this point. I had recorded a whole bunch of episodes in January and unfortunately have just kind of sat on them since then and haven't got them up. And they're a really interesting collection. So I thought it'd be great to get these up and out for the spring and really get things moving. So I've got an interesting collection. We're going to touch over the next 7 episodes on travel, relationships with older kids, improving sleep, therapist, and a coach for Panda's Pans, fitness and movement as we age, the importance of sweating, and then overcoming trauma with energy healing. So a real collection of different things over the next 7 episodes, but I think you're going to enjoy them and find the guests to be quite as interesting as I did. So let's get into today's episode. We're going to be speaking with author Tammy J. Cohen. She is a new author who has released a book called Text Messages to My Sons. So we're really getting into communicating with teens and older adults. Over the past few years, she really wanted to change the way that she interacted with her sons. So she started texting with them more and then essentially making that into a book collection that you can now purchase. And so basically, Tammy feels this is a way that you can connect in a new way with loved ones. Doesn't have to be children, can be siblings, extended family, spouses. But since she started this journey, her relationship has really become more enriched with her sons, and her friends have really encouraged her to continue with this work. And it's really become a passion project for her that she shared through her book, Text Messages to My Sons. So I hope that you will enjoy this episode with Tammy J. Cohen. So welcome, Tammy, to the podcast. I'm happy to connect with you today.
I'm so happy to be here today, Sarah. I'm excited to speak with you.
Excellent. So why don't we start with you giving a little bit about your background and so we can learn a bit more about you.
Okay, so here we go. I basically work. I'll start from the very, very beginning. I'm a mom. I have 3 grown sons, and I'm married. I live in Manhattan, and I've been living here my whole life in Manhattan, pretty much. I'm in brand messaging, so I concentrate my brand messaging consulting business in the gem and jewelry space. I founded Women's Business Network a few years ago called Women Beyond the Table. I co-host the Beyond the Table podcast, and I've been blessed to author a book called Text Messages to My Sons, Connecting Deeply in a World of Devices. And I co-own a restaurant on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. So my days are like basically around those things, and that's what I'm invested in.
Yeah, absolutely. Holy cow. That's a lot going on. And that's super impressive that you were able to author a book on top of all that. I know myself, it's a huge, huge endeavor. And kudos to you for sure.
Well, it's interesting, Sarah, because I never saw myself as publishing a book I started the whole process, the text messages, my sons, just texting my sons daily. And over time, I was kind of compelled, and people who knew I was doing it like, wow, you should put these texts into a book. They're really inspirational. And I was just like, okay, but it wasn't on my mind. But then at some point I felt compelled to do it. And it took me a while to publish, like at least 8 months, mm-hmm. but I understood why I was compelled when it came out in October. I really understood why I was compelled to put it into a book, and it wasn't obvious to me before October. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, that's super interesting. And maybe you can talk to us a little bit about like the age of your sons, kind of, that relationship there, and then why kind of moving into that texting really was something that became important for you guys.
That's a great question. So my sons are just turned 30. Well, a couple of months ago, 28, and my youngest is 23. And they're guys. They grew up in Manhattan, and they're all in finance. They went to school in the city all through early childhood, through high school, and they went to college. And they've done some really interesting things. And I was always part of that in a way. I was always proud of them. I always encouraged them. I always made opportunities happen. And my husband did too. We wanted them to have that experience of living in different countries and living in different cities and being independent. So that was always something that was important. But like everything else, kids growing up today, it's very different than how we grew up. When I grew up, we played outside. There were no phones. There was no internet. There was none of this stuff. So basically, you learn from your family. You learn from your extended family, from school, your peers. But it was a very different type of thing. It was very organic, and we didn't have a lot of information coming in, a lot of messaging coming in. We didn't hear things. We didn't really know things. It was on the news, and the news was a trustworthy source in those days. So basically now, growing up that way, and here I am with my kids, and I'm very lucky that when they were growing up, social media was just kind of really starting. They didn't get phones. I see kids who are 5 years old with phones. It kind of flips me out. They didn't get phones till probably middle school. There was a little bit more of a lapse than compared to how it is now. But at the end of the day, people have to be reached where they're at, and where they're at is on a device. They're not sitting down and having in-person conversations. Nobody seems to have the temperament, the want, or the knowledge of really in-person conversations. They just, especially since the pandemic, it's a little bit different, So I decided, and I said to myself, devices are really neither good nor bad. They're neutral. It's the message that makes all the difference. So I could relate to my sons and send them a message of love, inspiration, and share knowledge. When I started doing this, really was during the pandemic when everything shut down. And I was shut down too. I had been traveling a lot for business, but I always sensed in my, I always knew, I always knew that I had a lot of limiting thoughts in my head. I had my origin story left a lot to be desired. I wasn't truly very happy. And I said, this is an opportunity because there's time now to delve into my own mindset, to like try to learn, to try to have personal development, to grow past, or to understand where I'm coming from a little bit better. So, I got really into the whole coach, the life coach, the business coach. I was doing like every workshop, every program under the sun. I was really immersive in it. I said, wow, I'm learning a lot of really cool things. I'm reading books that I never would have thought of reading before. And guess what? I wanted to share it with my sons. I wanted to share what I was doing. I wanted them to know what I was doing. I wanted to share the inspiration that I was getting, that and the things that I was learning. I wanted to share it with them. So that's how it all started, and it was just a way for me to connect better, because I knew they'd read the message. I knew they look at their phones all the time, and I felt it wasn't a very time consuming thing for me to do either. I was able to do it and tell them how much they mean to me, how much I love them. It's sometimes so much easier with the written word, and I started really being consistent about it. I think that was a difference. Like Monday through Friday, I send the message. To this day, even though the book was published, I haven't stopped. And it's consistency. It's not like, hey, I love you, or hey, you're the best here and there. It's consistent. And I was sharing a lot, and I was sharing a lot about myself and what I was learning about myself. And I think they started to see me as a human being.
Yeah, wow. No, that's super powerful for sure. And I think definitely the age that they're at, that's like really important, to start seeing parents differently. So that makes a lot of sense. And
I guess, what kind of changes then have you seen in terms of your relationship with them? So you've been sending messages. I'm taking that like they're often like inspirational or reflective, or are they sometimes just, how's it going? Like what?
No, they're mostly, it's interesting. The book, they're mostly inspirational, love, light. I try to share something. So basically the book has 10 chapters and each chapter title is a category. For example, mindfulness and gratitude, mindset, family and love, leadership and focus, discipline and determination. The messages that have that kind of a topic, we assign to those different categories. So what I try to do with them was not just send them like, hey, how are you doing? I try to send them more something a little deeper because I want to connect more deeply. And I got news for you. Like sometimes it's just like the messages are really long. And I don't think they're so long, you know, for me, it's like I'll write a paragraph, no problem. But they're always like, you know what, they're well written. But what really surprised me is they respond. And I didn't expect any responses. I didn't even expect them to acknowledge. Some days they don't acknowledge, believe me. But there's always a love emoji that comes back, a I love you that comes back. There's great message. And I find that they share more with me. I'm not saying they share their details of their life. Their life is their life. But they ask my opinion. They'll run something by me. They'll listen to something that I have to say because they know it's coming from a certain place where I've had to figure things out. They appreciate the fact that I was accountable to them and owned up to the fact of explaining, you know, when kids are little, right? Sometimes we're short with them or we yell with them or, you know, we're not as present with them. I was not present that much. I was always just trying to get through the day, you know? And sometimes whatever I was dealing with between in marriage or something else, I would, you know, you take it out. Or they just act like kids and you lose your temper. So I wanted them to understand that how I acted and what I did was never about them. It was never their fault. And I was able to apologize for things like that I might have said or, you know, reactions that I had to things or tones that I used with them because it was me. It was me not being happy. It was me having an issue. And I think that really helped us to understand each other, for them to understand that I always love them and that I always wanted to do the best by them. But some days, you know, just weren't that easy and where my headset was at. So I think that was really important to be honest. Look, I'm not saying you make your kids your best friends and you tell them everything, but I just felt like I wanted to be accountable with them because I felt that if I can be accountable, they can be accountable too with going down the road with things in their life or when they have their own children. And I'm hoping like the Wella Balsam commercial that they'll tell two friends and so on that when they are connecting with their friends or community or their kids one day or their spouses that they can share love, they can share goodness because they're used to it. They know they see the recipe and they want to do it. And I think that's how you get more light out, like light to actually fight what's going on today, which you look online and you look at your phone and it's just violence, hate, propaganda, indoctrination, and it's disturbing. So I think we have to make conscious effort to do to start with our own family within our own units and do what we can. And that's what matters to me. And when I was friends would say to me like, "What are you doing?" And I tell them what I was doing. They're like, "Wow, that's really incredible. I never thought to do that." And some of them started doing that with their kids, and they said, "You know what? I feel like," and these are kids who are younger than my kids. They're teenagers. I mean, my kids aren't teenagers. And they said, I just feel that the tenor of the conversations changed. There's less tension because maybe it's messages in a lunchbox that we used to get when you opened up that little note in the lunchbox, if you were lucky enough to get one. And it kind of perked your day up. And maybe for a kid getting a message that isn't a reminder or a reprimand or, you know, a command. That was my whole text messaging with my kids. It was like, where are you? What are you doing? What do you want now? What did you forget? What do you want me? Like, it was always short, you know, and maybe not doing that and doing something else warms their soul or warms them up on some level. So it's never too late to send love, as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't matter what age a kid is. And I don't think there's ever an age that's too young to start. As long as you're giving your kid a phone, maybe you should start setting the tenor of what should be they should be listening to and receiving and what they should expect to receive. Maybe these kids, you know, will grow up more secure or not open to hate because they're not used to that. That doesn't appeal to them. So I'm hopeful, you know, I'm hopeful mm-hmm. that it'll start something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really interesting. And I appreciate that reference to teens, because that's what I was going to ask. Do you think that this would apply as well? And I know with my teen, like sometimes I'll send things and I'm not sure if he's really looking at it, you know, but like other days you do get, yeah, that little heart back or, you know, just yeah. kind of like even something short, like hope your day's going good or whatever. And so, yeah, maybe there is kind of something coming through and an investment there. They can be so hard to read. So I think that makes sense. Would you say like in terms of their relationship, yeah, that you're feeling like more of a closeness, or it's just that piece where you're like, I do think they're including me and coming to me a little bit more. Is that really the quality change?
The quality change is just the sense I get that they love these messages, that knowing that there's somebody who's taking the time to send you inspiration, send you love, share knowledge, it's just taking the time, makes you bulletproof. The whole day, I feel like that's what they're feeling. That even if the day doesn't go well, they know that there's somebody who's starting their day with good energy or making sure they know they matter. And they're guys. They're not going to sit and say, oh, mom, you're just incredible. But I sense it that they feel very proud. Listen, they were involved with this book. My sons wrote the foreword. I mean,
oh, wow.
they wrote the foreword as to how these messages make them feel and how they're proud that I did this. And I have friends who tell me, you know, this. I'm messaging, my daughters are more receptive, my sons are like, what are you doing? But at the end of the day, I don't know one person. I don't care if they don't want to get the message. They'll accept the message. They might not respond to the message, but over time they'll respond. And let me tell you, the first thing that happens when you move to the next phase of your life or pass on is that the one thing they're going to really remember in this are those messages, because that's what's going to resonate. They're not going to think about, oh, when you bought them a $500 pair of sneakers, or, oh, when they went on this vacation. Yeah, it's a memory. What they're going to miss are those little messages they were getting from you that showed your love, that showed how much they mean. And I really believe that's the difference. And I find my kids, every Friday night they come for dinner. We do Friday night Shabbat dinner. And they, if they're in town, of course, they come. My two older ones live downtown and my youngest is still at home. And, you know, we talk about everything. And that's our in-person conversation time. But I feel like we also have that because how they grew up, but also because they want to come here. They want to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You know, it's not like they're here all the time, but they want to make the effort. And that means something. So nothing happens overnight. And it wasn't like I sent two messages and it changed everything. This is a couple of years mm-hmm. of doing this, but they know that I'm consistent and they know it's the real deal. And they know that I'm not going anywhere. And they know that they matter to me enough that I'm taking the time to do this every day with them. And that's all that matters to me.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it's like an increased connection point for sure. And you send them all something separate. Is that it? Like it's kind of personalized? Like you don't do a group kind of thing?
No, it's not group. Yeah. I basically take the same message and I send it to each one of them. But sometimes I might tweak something depending if one is traveling and the other one's not. You know, I tweak it. But I don't send it as a group. No, I send it to each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if they'll compare messages in the book. It's just that message. But the fact that I make the point of sending it to each one of them, I think also means something versus a group.
Yeah.
We have a WhatsApp group. The family has one and we share stuff on it all the time. But this is different because this is directly, every message starts with good morning, sunshine. Mm-hmm. And there's a sunshine emoji. And every message ends with my love for them, how much I love them. So there's hearts, the three heart emojis in the book. And then in the book, we use like the finger emoji if a message is continuing on to the next page. At the end of each chapter, we have blank lines so that you could try your message here, like try your message. Because we want, the idea is I want people to like be able to look at it and say, hey, I want to start this. I want to try it. I want to practice a message. I want to take that message. I love it. And I want to send it to my kids. What's really cool about text messages to my sons is that it's the first book ever written completely in text message format. Very easy to read. I've gotten a lot of feedback from people and they love it because not only is it easy and quick to read, but there's no story. So they don't have to go chapter to chapter and get into character development. They can reference anything they want. They can go to the chapter with that they feel, wow, I want to know about these mindset messages or love and family. They can pull out messages. People have told me that they're really inspired. They had no idea I could write. They had no idea that there's a new category called text poetry. I didn't know. I was just writing from my heart, you know? So it just came out that way. But what was really fun for me also was being able to share all the cool stuff I was learning. I mean, reading Robin Sharma or Jay Shetty or Joe Dispenza, you know, Tony Robbins, whatever I was reading, Deepak, I was able to pull something out of it and type the, you know, and pass it on to them. And that was exciting for me that I wanted them to have access to Mind Valley leaders and what I was learning to Life Book, to all kinds of thought processes that I was learning. I just found it fascinating, the information out there, and I wanted them to have access to it. And listen, I read such phenomenal books like Atomic Habits and Think and Grow Rich. I was actually ordering them the books and sending it to them because I was like, this is really cool. I'm learning this cool stuff. I want them to know what I'm learning and maybe it'll make a difference in their life. And you know what? It does. Anything where you can learn, anything that could develop you personally and help you to grow is important. And it doesn't matter what age you are. You're never too old to learn. And I wanted them to know that too, that I was really getting a kick out of learning and changing my mindset and growing. And they picked all that up. They picked all that up from the messages. Everything that was sent, they got it.
Yeah, that's great. And it's such a good role model for them, like kind of to be lifelong learners as well. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, you want to learn about things that apply to your career. So they're in finance. So they'll do all of that. But what about things that really apply to life? Like we tend to put that on the side, or things that make us more present, or things where we have to challenge ourselves or try to, you know, take us one step more forward that we couldn't take before. I mean, these life, like life development tools are just as important as learning specific things for business. You know, it goes hand in hand. I think business and mindset, health and wellness go hand in hand. And I wanted them to get that sense of that because they're very focused on their careers. And I wanted them to have that additional sense of self, of learning, of why both are important.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like our generation has went through so much of that burnout and different pieces where, you know, careers may be too much of the focus. And so I can definitely see that it would be so helpful to try to give them some of those self-care tools and self-development. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What about like one thing I've been told in terms of texting is that, you know, sometimes you can really lose the nuance, right? Like I've heard, yeah, like a lot of that is lost in texting and you have to be really careful with what you send and things like that. Like, do you just combat that because it is really like a nicely written paragraph kind of thing? And have you ever had any issues where, you know, they've not been sure what you're getting at or it's just because it's inspirational that's sort of taken care of?
Yes. Okay. I agree with you 100%. Text messages, emails, WhatsApp. I mean, yeah, you could definitely have the wrong tone and it can be taken totally wrong. But when you're telling somebody, you are incredible, I love you, and you're sharing an inspirational quote, it's really hard for them to take it the wrong way. The times that it did get really rather frosty or whatever is when the texts were more reprimands, commands, or reminders, that the tone always got misinterpreted or came out much harsher than I intended it to. So yeah, it does depend on the message that you're putting out there and what you're saying. But I try to make sure it's balanced. I mean, I don't just send a message off. I read it, you know, I look at it. I'll tweak it to make sure that it's coming across the right way. Nothing I say to them is like, this is what you need to do, or this is what I think and it's right. It's just sharing. So they don't take it that way that I'm kind of enforcing anything on them or you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Lecturing them. In the past, yeah, I sent lecturing type of texts when they were younger. But I've tried to move away from all that because I don't want them to feel that. I want them to feel it's a sharing. It's a sharing of love. It's a sharing of information. It's a sharing of positivity. It's sharing inspiration. And it's really hard to take it any other way. They don't. So I'm not assuming that that'll happen with everybody starts doing it with their loved ones. But I know in my case, it hasn't been an issue at all.
And when you first started, did you just like be like, today I'm going to send a message? Or did you talk with them within the first little while and say, hey, like, do you like these messages? You know what I mean? Like, did you ever have a conversation outside of the text? Or did you just kind of say, nope, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm going to be like expressing yeah. love and stuff over the next little while. And here we go. Was there ever?
Yeah, I mean, it first started generally as something to share because I was excited about what I was learning. And I said, you know what? Like, I'm sitting here and I have the time and they matter so much to me. Like, I want to share with people who I care about. So I was sharing with my friends. It was about the same time that I started Women Beyond the Table that I started doing the text messages. So I was able to have this outlet, right? And I just started doing it. And they didn't mind because mm-hmm. I'm not asking for anything back to them. I never asked for a response. I never asked for anything. I just sent this message. And it's not like I never sent a message to them before. I had always used text messaging. As soon as I figured out the purpose of text messaging and started doing it, it was always a very different type of message because it was more about, where are you? What do you do? Like, it was more those kind of messages. But then I decided with the pandemic, it would be a good time just to share. And they didn't never said to me like, what are you doing? Or why are you starting this? Or don't start this? Or this is stupid. They never had that reaction. So I'm assuming either they were first intrigued by it or they ignored it maybe at first, but they supported it. They thought it was, they knew the meaning. They knew I was trying to do something positive to them, for them. They knew maybe I needed to do it. They understood. And when we get together, and this wasn't during the pandemic, this was later on, they would tease me a little bit. They'd say like, another long message, you know, yeah. Send a really long message. I'm like, I know, but I had so much to share. And they're amused. They found it amusing, but they feel love. Yeah. And that's the whole point of it. Like, you can't really honestly get upset with somebody who's warm and loving. It's just really hard. I haven't been able to. There was years ago that this Rebbetzin, a rabbi's wife, she had like 10 kids. And every week she would call me. In the beginning, I was like, she's calling me. What does she want? So I'd pick up the phone and she'd be like, hi. She'd say who it is. I knew it was her. And she would say, I just want to see how you are. And I would, after over time, I was like, look at this woman. She's got 10 kids. Mm-hmm. She's doing amazing things in her community. She's out and about helping people. And she's taking the time to call me to see how I am. How could you not find that endearing? I said, she's mm-hmm. become somebody who would first, when the phone rang, I was like, I don't feel like having a conversation, to somebody who I was like, she called, thank God she called, and what a wonderful human being, because she cares about how I'm doing. Like, who cares about how I'm doing? Nobody cares about how I'm doing. So what happens is, I think with the message, when you're sending when you're sending love and you're showing that you care and you're trying to be helpful and mindful, I think people, it resonates with their heart. I think it really resonates deeper into the heart chakra, I would say, because it goes past, it goes past logic, it goes past the ego, it goes past your brain, and it becomes like, this person means well. And anybody who means well towards me, I can't have a negative thought about them. You just can't. And I think that's what happened between me and my kids. Yeah, they love me because I'm their mother. I gave birth to them. Yeah, I raised them. I provided everything I could, as much as I could, the shirt off my back. I put them first. But they're seeing a different side, the honest side, the side that's accountable, and the side that has all this love. Because like I said, you know, I'm sure you found this. You're so busy getting through the day to day. There's so many things you have to get done. And there's so many things you have to keep on top of for your kids, especially when they're at home. There's so many things you have to do. And day starts and you're in doing all the time. You're not present. It's hard to sit there and tell them how amazing they are when you're trying to get from A to Z with them and A, B, you know, and there's so many things to do. And they're giving you an attitude and they don't want to talk to you and you're annoying. I mean, I've gotten the annoying card so many times from my kids. Or I don't know what, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You're so annoying. Relax. I don't get any of that anymore because there's nothing that it's annoying. This isn't annoying to them. Knowing that they're loved is not annoying. Being on their back was annoying, but I had to be on their back. That was my job. But you see what I'm saying? Like you get past it and then they just soak in because now they're adults and they're thinking, I'm going out there into this world. I have to work. I have to do this. I have to function. I'm going to live on college. I'm away from home. I don't have that stability. I don't have that thing there necessarily. So my mother really has my back. She really loves me. And you know what? I can get through anything. I'll get through it because somebody has my back. Mm-hmm. Always. You know, the love is there and it's cool. It works well. It really does.
Yeah, no, I think this is great. I think it gives people like a new way to kind of connect. Because you're right, like a lot of times the younger generation, like they don't want to do phone that much, you know, they're busy. And so this is kind of a way to just leave something for them and know that they're thinking or that you're thinking of them. That's great. Do you think that this would work in terms of other relationships, like maybe with aging parents or you know, spouses? Like, are there others that have tried this beyond children?
Yes. I think you could try it with anybody who you love, a friend, anybody who you want to bring positivity to, anybody who needs to hear it, especially. Look, I really noticed that, you know, there's plenty of young people and who are growing up, and the only message from the time they're born is hate. The only message they hear is violence. Right. The only message you're getting from the government, from the education, from their where they pray, their everything. It's all like hate, or it's all victimhood, or it's all what have you. And it just kills their minds. It kills their minds. I think you can do it with anybody you want to have a positive relationship with. You want them to feel okay. With the women at Women Beyond the Table, we have a WhatsApp group. We're sharing inspiration with each other and support, non-judgment support, you know, like kindness. And we're sharing information. We're sharing offers. We're sharing workshops. We're sharing things. And this connection is amazing. And I'll sit and anybody will reach out to me. And I have a lot of people reach out to me. And I'll sit and I'll listen and I'll try to give them back love. And I'll try to give them back encouragement to get them to move forward. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not trained in any of this. It's just being a human being and giving somebody that positivity that they need, that to listen, to help them, to encourage them. People need it. It's just it's a basic human need. And if you don't get it ever, and all you hear is the opposite, and all you're hearing is lies and hate, you know what's going to happen? You're going to grow up to be very disturbed, capable of anything. And that's why I think I was compelled to write it, although I didn't realize the reason then. I think we have to get on this movement to start changing the tenor and start changing the way we communicate. I mean, I see people all the time communicating with each other in negative ways. I have a restaurant. I see people not even talking to each other at a table. They're just staring at their phones, looking at whatever. Mm-hmm. Looking at what are you looking at? You're reading what? You're looking at some kind of media that's making you sick or what? Or something on social media that has no value or meaning to it. It's just either hateful or stupid. I mean, where are we going with all this? So that's why I think everybody has to take it upon themselves to find somebody that they want to have that relationship with, where they just want to make sure they're okay and they want to be non-judgmental with them, non-competitive with them, mm-hmm. supportive, give them light, give them love, because the only way, you know, you can overcome evil and darkness is with light and love. That's the only way. Love and gratitude are the highest energy vibrations on the planet. So we have two choices. Either we're going to raise the energy vibration and we're going to make attempts. Everybody's going to take it upon themselves to practice love and gratitude. And it's not cliche to put it out there, to put that energy out there and change the energy that is currently in this world right now, which is very low and very bad energy. And you want to attract people that feel the same way, that have love and light. You want them to come into your light. You want those kind of people to be attracted to your energy. And that's what happens. So the more we get out there, the more people crave that energy, the more they get attracted to it. And we make a difference. It doesn't take much to send a text. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, mm-hmm. you know?
You think
the kids answer the phone? Let me ask you a question. When you call your kids on the phone, are they picking up? Usually I'm calling my kids. They don't pick up. And I send them a text. Please call me. And they'll call.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's great. I think I really like the positive messaging here. That sounds wonderful. Any other key pieces of advice or tips or tools that you want to kind of share before we wrap up?
Oh, gosh. No, I can't think of additional things to share. It's just, you have to, whatever you decide to do, you have to really be consistent. It's not a one-shot thing. It's not a here or there. You have to keep at it because it's, repetitive. It's not conditioning. It's just, you have to be repetitive because it takes time for things to sink in. You know, once here and there is not going to make much of a difference. And don't ever expect anything back. Don't do it because you expect something back. You expect love back, or you expect them to change, or you expect something's going to become better. Just do it from your heart because you want to do this. And wherever it's supposed to go, it's going to go. And with my kids, you know, like I said, we don't have a perfect relationship. Nothing's perfect. But I feel like we have an understanding. And I feel that it means something. And that's it. I'd have more expectations than that. I just wanted them to know that how much they're loved, and that's it. That was my thing. Whether that's their thing is a whole other story. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense because the last thing you want is to be like, well, I sent this nice text to that person and they don't, you know, like that kind of thing where the person's expecting some kind of revolutionary change. It's like, no, you have to want to do it from your heart. I think that's a really good point.
Yes, that's the whole thing. Don't expect anything and just keep at it. It's like this metaphor. I mean, this story. Somebody told me this really cool story, and it stuck with me. I even planted a sunflower because I was so intrigued by it. So they were saying, okay, imagine this. Whether it's anything in your life that you want to do, you take a seed and you put it in the earth. Put it in your planter, and you put it in this little seed, and you water it every day. And you water it, and you water it, and you're waiting for something to happen, right? And nothing's happening. So one day, you just say, you know what? Something's wrong with this seed. I don't care. I'm not doing it. I'm not wasting time watering it or talking to it or whatever I'm doing. And don't you know it? That was the day the little seed was going to break through.
Mm.
But now it's not breaking through because you didn't give water any longer. So what I learned was there's really no time frame, you know, for things. You got to put the work in and you got to keep at it. And at some point, that little seed will come through. It will. It's when it's supposed to be. Everybody, I always say to people, you know what? Whoever's supposed to show up will show up. Whoever's supposed to be there will be there. Whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. Because mm-hmm. I do believe in God, and I believe that you do what you have. You do what you're doing, and in the right time, in the right place, it comes. It comes for everything.
Yeah, no, that's great. That makes a lot of sense. So how can listeners find out more about you? Like the book? Are you on social media? Is there other ways to connect?
Yes, Sarah. So I have my website is www.TCBrandConsulting.com. So the book is also on the website. It's on Amazon. So you can always just go to Amazon, text messages to my sons. My name is Tammy J. Cohen. So that's the author name. The full name of the book is Text Messages to My Sons, Connecting Deeply in a World of Devices. Social media at Text Messages to My Sons on Instagram. It's on Facebook. Text Messages to My Sons, as is my Instagram, is at Tammy J. Cohen. And in LinkedIn, I'm just Tammy Cohen. Cohen. So those are the best ways to reach me.
Okay, that's great. I can link up to all of those in the show notes, and then people can connect with you. And what is the name of your podcast? I know you mentioned the podcasting as well.
Ah, yes, the Beyond the Table podcast. So our network, our women's business network, it's global. It's called Women Beyond the Table, and the podcast is called Beyond the Table. So what we do is we interview women, and they share their story, their journey, how they overcame challenges, how they managed to find success, and all the points in between and what they're doing and how they're changing the world. So we connect them to an audience. That's pretty much what the podcast is about. So I hope people enjoy it. We just recorded season 2, and it's actually debuting in February, season 2.
Oh, wow. Okay. So really soon. That's great. And sounds really inspirational as well. So that's wonderful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And I look forward to hearing more about this book and reading it. Sounds great.
And Sarah, thank you so much for having me on. I totally enjoyed our conversation and your very insightful and thoughtful questions. And good luck with your podcast. I think it's fantastic.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much to Tammy J. Cohen for our conversation today. I thought it was a great one. I loved learning about her journey and how she got to writing a book. I think that's always super fascinating for me as an author as well, to just kind of understand how everybody else gets their ideas and where they come from with their books. I loved that it really came from wanting to just, you know, create more light and positivity and connection. So I think that's amazing. You can check out her book, Text Messages to My Sons, on Amazon. Also www.tcbrandconsulting.com to reach out to Tammy and see her or listen to her on her podcast, Beyond the Table podcast. So I hope that you've enjoyed this episode and that you'll come back for the rest of our spring collection that we have coming over the next few weeks. If you have any more ideas for episodes of the Learning to Slay the Beast podcast, feel free to reach out to me at reallifeprojectco@gmail.com or on Instagram at Sarah Lady Gluten. Would love to hear from you. Have a great week. Thank you for listening to the Learning to Slay the Beast podcast. Please keep in mind, this podcast is not intended to be medical or professional advice. If you'd like to hear more from me, you can follow me on social media, Instagram and TikTok at Sarah Lady Gluten, or Facebook, Sarah_GlutenFreeLady. You can also visit my website, which includes author information, speaking information, and more info on the podcast at www.se-german.com. If you like the podcast, please feel free to review the podcast on your favorite platform and also subscribe, because it means that it will show up for you every week on your favorite podcast platform. Also, we've just started to have the ability to support the podcast. You can find this link in my Instagram bio or visit Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/learningtoslaythebeast. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.